Someone proudly declared, "I have many hidden talents. I have many hidden talents." And that curious listener asked, "Really? What talent do you have?" "I don't know," the proud replied. "You said you have many talents, but you cannot identify even for one," came the jeer. And he explained, "I don't know, because they are hidden talents, you know? They are hidden. How could I know?" How can you discover your hidden talents? How? Try something new. Hidden talents. Your hidden talents will remain hidden until you try it. Maybe you can be great in gardening. Discover that your talent in gardening. "No, I don't have green thumb." I don't know if there are really green thumb, but they say if you are really good in gardening, you have green thumb. But planting flowers, planting vegetables, or planting fruit trees can be therapeutic. If you haven't discovered that yet, try it this spring. Plant at least one. Even now, you can plant actually indoor plants. Ask those who love gardening, why do they love gardening? Well, observing plants grow, observing them produce flower. Look at this flower in front. "Thank you, Lord, for the hands who prepared these flowers. It's beautiful." And if you were the one who planted that, it's another level of appreciation. Watching flower planted by other people is something, but when you plant something in you, it grows, it's another level of indescribable. When they bear fruit, if you plant fruit trees or crops like strawberry. I don't like so much strawberry. I don't know, but I'm not very appreciative of strawberry, but I like picking strawberry fruit. And I have plants, planted strawberry. Even inside our home, they have fruits. Even now, they are flowering. And I just want to watch them. That's something I could say, indescribable moment of truth. As Christians, as believers, God wants us to grow. We grow in our faith. We grow spiritually. God wants us to grow spiritually mature. In Christ, Jesus wants us to produce fruit. Not just grow. He wants us to produce fruit. And to understand what the Lord wants, why does God want us to grow spiritually? Why is it that Christ wants us to produce fruit? It is very advisable to experience. You yourselves experience gardening. Whatever plants you want to plant, just try. Plant one thing. Vegetable, flower, or fruit trees, plant. Jesus Christ teaches us in John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Let's read together. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful." That's a very terrifying warning, actually. But only when we are growing in our spiritual life, we can discern and sense the sincerity, the seriousness of this passage. A good gardener takes care of the grapevine to grow. I have grapevine at home. I harvested at least, I think, 10 gallons, 3 buckets of 5 gallons of grapes last summer. And I made at least 2 gallons of grape juice. Not bad, right? God gardener takes care of the grapevine to grow and produce fruit. Likewise, God takes care of us for us to grow spiritually, for us to produce fruit. One process of gardening, planting grapevine is pruning. Need to prune, remove branches that are not useful or not fruitful. It will only take the sap, the nutrients that should be going to the fruit or to the, and it also helps the branches of the vine grow stronger, bigger. If you prune them, and it would produce better, sweet fruits. Similarly, God removes part of us if He deems that's not useful for productiveness. God prunes us. Faith is not idle belief, not idle belief of God. It should be functional. Faith in God should be productive. It declares in James chapter 2, verse 17 to 19, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Have you heard people, they despise Christianity. They would rather be atheist or worshiping anything. Why? Maybe they observe Christians who have no transformation in their life. Don't deceive yourselves. Don't just claim you are Christians. Make sure you've got faith in Christ. Make sure your faith is productive. Make sure that you have been transformed to experience blessings from the Lord. The more we are transformed, the more we grow in our spiritual life, the more we experience blessings from God. Let's read again verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness into goodness, knowledge. Now surely, our human effort, we cannot transform ourselves spiritually. We cannot do that. But God can transform us. So why do we make every effort to add goodness and knowledge to our faith if we cannot do that? Why? Why is it that Apostle Peter commanded us or instructed us in this? Our part is to evaluate. Our part is to assess where we are in our spiritual life. Are we growing spiritually or not yet? Is there goodness in us? Now, do you know that goodness to be added to the faith is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, see, goodness. That goodness does not come from us. It comes from the Holy Spirit who works in us. Previously, Apostle Peter declared that with a divine power, Christ has given us everything we need for godly life. But not all Christians had realized that just yet. Being idle, being unproductive, it warns that what Christ has given was not utilized yet. This is why we are unproductive. Maybe because we haven't received what was given. It was delivered. It was delivered on your doorstep, but you don't open your door. You don't take that what had been delivered. So why? How can you use it? You look at the internet, your delivery, I ordered this, your delivery, it's been delivered. Where is it? And you are sitting in your sofa waiting. Where is the delivery? It's in the door. We open the door of our hearts to the Lord. Lord, I would like you to help me sense, realize that goodness, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. Help me grow in my knowledge of you. We don't realize it until we grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we are advised to read more of his word. Being idle, being unproductive, meaning you haven't used what had been given. Why are we advised then to make every effort to add to our faith goodness in knowledge? For us to know that the Lord had given us what we need for godly life. How can we access to everything we need for godly life if we don't know what Christ had delivered to us? How do you know that Christ had already delivered everything we need if you don't know the will of the Lord? We pray for his help. But wait, our effort again is not enough. What can we do? Now we can learn from the personal experience of Apostle Peter. At one time, the Lord Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they went up the mountain to pray. And while the Lord Jesus was praying, Moses and Elijah appeared before Jesus. And then Peter, James, and John, they were sleeping, and he was surprised. Jesus was already speaking to Moses and Elijah. It mentions there, how could Peter or the apostles recognize Moses and Elijah when Moses and Elijah died many years ago, thousands of years ago? I don't know. Maybe the Lord Jesus said afterward to them. So that is not out of the question, but it is written that Moses and Elijah appeared before Jesus. And then they startled, surprised, and shocked, or maybe excited Peter. He had this instinctive thought, I had to do something here. He suggested in Luke 9, chapter 32, verse 35. Let's read, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. That's God the Father speaking. Like Peter, many Christian practitioners are really good and helpful, and they want to do anything that is godly. If they think it's godly, they would do that. And preachers encourage participation in the ministry. We hear that every now and then. Be involved in the ministry. If we get involved in the ministry on our own initiative, it's very admirable, right? It is. But the question is, will the Lord appreciate it? Will the Lord appreciate when we initiate our involvement in the ministry? How is that? First and foremost, we need to listen to Jesus Christ, our Lord. God wants us to get involved specifically in the ministry he prepared for us, not just to any ministry that we think it is good. Everything may be good. The things we think good may not necessarily be good in the eyes of the Lord. It declares in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Let's read this. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We do good works that God had prepared. By faith, we receive eternal life. When our faith is active and not idle, the Holy Spirit is producing goodness in us. That good work becomes a spontaneous lifestyle. God prepared, God designed the good work we should do. We do not push ourselves. Instead, it's just spontaneous. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I have this joy, this excitement, just to get involved. That's it. How is that? Now, do you believe that God designed eagles to fly? Do you believe that? Do you believe that eagles are designed to fly instinctively? Do you believe that? Now, do you believe that fish are designed to swim? Do you believe that? But there are flying fish, right? Never mind. Just think about fish that swims. And kangaroo are designed to jump. They are not designed to crawl like snakes. They are designed to jump. But when an eagle chooses to swim, what would you do? Be quick, get the cell phone, take a video. And then you saw that eagle swimming and then jumping. Take a video. What happens? Post it in the internet. What happens? It becomes viral. There will be many clicks, many smiles. We smile. But when the eagle flies high, God smiles. And that is what we see in many Christians. They want to be viral in the internet instead of pleasant to God. God intentionally designed good works we should do that He wants to bless. Not everything that we do will be blessed by the Lord. This is why many are experience burnout. If God bless us because we are doing good works, we should not experience burnout. Many pastors, many ministry workers, they would quit the ministry. Maybe their time is ended, I don't know. But maybe they have exhausted themselves doing good things that God did not design for them. They just want to be everywhere, do everything by themselves. And then they want to tell their congregation, I'm so tired. Is it not that not very good testimony? Because the Lord Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest, right? So doing what God wants us to do should be restful and not burning out and not tiresome and not something that you would, no, I would not be involved in that ministry again. I feel very bad. Maybe you need to pray. Not all ministry is for you. There is specific ministry that God had prepared for you. Discover that. Try. If you tried one and you didn't feel that enthusiasm, then stop there, pray again, try another until you find. It would be great if you do something that you would enjoy. It's when the Holy Spirit produced that fruit of joy and peace, and there's patience too, you would also be kind. But if you are forcing yourself in that ministry, you would become a person that others would despise, not like. I don't like to work with that person. It's like a sea urchin or something. I don't know. there should be godly goodness. Godly goodness, there should be mutual affection and love for one another. Now, let's read again verse 6 to 7. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. That is what we add to our faith. Faith, add to faith, goodness. Goodness, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. To godliness, mutual affection. And affection, mutual affection, and love. Love would not come out immediately. It would be, say, last, the totality. When you reach that spiritual level of life, maturity, that love you would experience. What does Christ wants us to do? To have mutual affection and love for each other. Mutual affection and love for each other should be inspired by the Holy Spirit for us to have that godly love. We love God because we love God because haven't you read those poster that Brother Erwin pasted somewhere else? It's almost everywhere. You should have read that. We love God because He loved us first. He first loved us. God love us first. Should the Lord, if that is true, if God love us first, should the Lord not initiate everything, even what we think? God should initiate what we think, what we say, what we decide, what we do. That's proper. But our human effort, we can never mutually love God. We can never. We can love God because He loved us first. We experience His love. It's why we love us first. And we love Him. We may reciprocate His love for us when His Holy Spirit produces love in us. Thus, we can have mutual affection toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is godly practice of faith to have mutual affection. Faith that practically expressed in goodness can persevere. Remember that. It can persevere. Faith have self-control and perseverance. That faith that comes from God. We persevere in what? In godly lifestyle. We keep on. We continue. Love one another until Christ returns. We don't stop. We continue. That's productive faith. If we sense that part in us when we think like, oh, I need to stop here. I need to quit. I need to. When you sense that, that's the human limitation. Again, ask the Lord. Lord, I sense this. Don't just stop. Instead, Lord, and don't force yourself. If you sense that, it means you need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me. Help me grow in my faith. Help me grow. Help me grow. I sense this sense of quitting. That's the humanity. Jesus Christ instructed us in John 13, 34 to 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ is mutual affection and practical proof of our obedience to the Lord. We are obeying the Lord when we love one another because it's His command. And when the Holy Spirit transforms us, He produces love in us. And that love is what we use to love others. How can we mutually express our love toward other believers? Now, many people, mutual affection sometimes, what others do, you do also. No, that is not. Don't do what the others do just to repay. If you repay, there's competition. Like, for example, If in the Maples Evangelical Church, the Maples Eating Church, we love to eat. Somebody brought, because he wants to share his her delicacy. Let's say, pizza is easier to say. Brought pizza because he loves pizza. Now you also brought pizza. Everyone brought pizza. Everybody is eating pizza. And nobody brought soft drinks. Nobody prepared the coffee. Nobody, because everyone is doing the same thing. They are competing in bringing something. That's like in the fellowship, in bowling fellowship. What do you do during bowling fellowship? You try to outdo each other. Everyone wants to get 100 strikes. And Brother Juven will have problem with that. Why? He only gives the winner a prize. Second winner, second prize. If everybody wins, he had a problem. That's not very good, right? It's competition. If we do that, doing the same thing that others do is competition. And that's not the kind of love that the Lord wants us to have. That is not. We collaborate, we support what we can so that we become together. As part of the body of Christ, we practice our spiritual gift. We collaborate efforts toward our common goal. What is our common goal? To become a testimony, spreading the word of God, furtherance of the kingdom of God in this community, wherever we go. What would you do? Not everyone would come, and I would like also to show my love to you by preaching like Pastor did. If everyone is a preacher, that would not be, who would be listening, right? I would like also to become a singer. Everyone sings, everyone comes up, everyone would join the choir. Who would watch you? I would watch you. I would not join the choir. Did you know it happened that? That happened. My friend invited me somewhere, preach a long time ago. Come and preach. Okay. I traveled, go and preach. And then everyone, special number, choir. I was there sitting alone. Everybody was in the choir. It was very wonderful, but that is not the kind of image the Lord wants. Well, it happened because it's not very huge church. But that's not a very good image of a church. Let's reflect what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 to 28. There should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, the miracles, then gift, healing, helping, guidance, every of different kinds of tongues. Now, no spiritual gift is greater than the other. That order, what first, second, and third, and the rest of the spiritual gift does not necessarily imply first as greater than the rest. Before in planting, you need to send the prophets or those who would be delivering the word of God, or the apostle, I should say. Send those who go to missions. This is why first the missionaries would go. When it says the prophets, these are the preachers, modern day prophets. They preach the word of God. In Ephesians it says, the pastor comes last after evangelist. It's not the pastors are not the first one to go. If they do that, what would they pastor when there is no church yet? Now, when it says different kind of tongues, in this church alone, we have different kind of tongues. Do you know that? Sometimes I speak in tongue, and I think Brother Dan would only the one who would understand me, because I speak Ilocano. Some speak Cebuano, others speak South, Tagalog, Ilonggo, Kanggalatok. What else? Ibaloy, Kankanay, Cavitino, Batanggenyo, Pure Tagalog, Boholino, Boholino. What else? Scottish, how about that, Glenn? All right.
English, French.
And they're German too, right? How about that? We are speaking different tongues, but we only speak when somebody would understand and somebody would interpret for you. This is why sometimes when I speak in my tongue, I ask you to ask Brother Dan about what I say so that you may understand what I say. Right? Sometimes I cannot help but to speak in tongue because I cannot just express it in English. Now, God distributed spiritual gifts accordingly to collaborate productivity. We love it when friends posted the plans in their social media. You want that? I know. There are many of you who have plants, beautiful flowers, and other plants. And I cannot help but just watch. They are beautiful to see. Beautiful plants are pleasant to see. That is why gardeners take care of their plants. And gardeners don't just do something else. They follow order of activities. Before the garden, they prepare the land, the soil. Before the plant, they prepare the soil. Then the plant, the water, fertilize, cultivate, prune, and many other activities. You would not prune if there's no plant, right? So pruning is not the first one that you would do. Planting is first. You do not water when there's no plant yet. You may water if the soil is dry, but you need, that is part of the preparation of the soil. Meaning, just like the Lord had ordered to have first the apostles, second the prophets, teachers, miracles, and many other spiritual gifts, he arranges it according to his gardening wisdom. And that is the wise gardener. The wise gardeners know what to do. If you don't know yet how to garden, how to plant, then you grow, you learn, you just go in searching the internet, it's so easy. It says generally good works, meaning we have to discover that. Discovering is also part of the process of our faith, trusting that God would lead us to that path where he had prepared for us to do. And may God help us effectively productive in increasing measure. Amen. Let's read again verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to be productive. God give us faith for us to be productive, not idle. God want us to be effective, not ineffective. Productive faith is manifested in goodness as practical expression of our knowledge of God and his will. And not only that, there's also that inner, that we have self-control. We have that perseverance that we keep on have that godliness in us. Mutual affection from inside out. Is that godliness practically shown out to our brothers and sisters and love? Those things should follow. As God transforms our life, we expect that. He has given us everything we need for godly life. Ask the Lord, help me see what you have already delivered, what I need to live a godly life through the divine power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is good Lord. When you hear the term Lord, it also gives us the idea of servant. The Lord do not just wait for the servants to serve them. The Lord provides for the servant to serve properly. And God, Christ, is good Lord. He provides for our needs to serve Him. He had delivered everything we need for godly life. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? If you can strongly believe it, then you possess the above-mentioned qualities in increasing measure. It says increasing measure. But if there's that little doubt about it, say, I don't think I experienced that. It should cause us to learn more. It prompts us, I want to learn more. Why is it that it seems like I don't experience that, what the Word of God says? We need to grow in our knowledge of God and His will, so that when it says possess these qualities in increasing measure, possess these qualities in increasing measure, it means productive faith. Increasing, be productive. If it is idle, that is not already productive. And you know who are working in companies and production company, if you are not doing anything, there's no product, right? And who would suffer? No product, no sales would suffer. The employees. Why? No salary. And you go rally, ask the employer, give us our salary, and you are not doing anything. It's all right, increase our salary, but you are still doing unproductive things. Well, maybe it's hard for the employer, but one day, as Christians, the Lord will say, were you productive, my son, my daughter? Or were you idle? You need to grow continually, spiritually, not remain idle in our faith. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me grow. Help me grow. The more you sense that growth in you, there's that desire, you want more. You taste. What food have you tasted that you like to eat even? Like every day, I would like to eat every day. Rice? Rice. What is it? Now, when you are idle, the Lord would prune you. There was this video in the internet. I had watched an older apple. This gardener says, here is an old apple tree. It is not bearing much fruit. And it explained, the gardener says, I need to prune this tree. I need to remove those 3Ds in this tree. What are those 3Ds? Do you know? You're a gardener. Dried, damaged, diseased branches. 3D branches. The pruner would remove those things. Dried, when it's dried, of course, it's dried branch. It doesn't bear much fruit. It's just a disturbance to the other branches, so it would be cut. Damaged by the snow or broken, they will remove because eventually it would die. And diseased, they would remove that branch with disease because it may infect the other branches. And most often, older apple trees, when there are diseased branches, it eventually die down. This is why there's need of pruning. And then that gardener showed another video where it cuts many branches. It showed new branches had grown and it had more fruit. That is what the Lord, the good gardener, God, the good gardener, would do in us. He removes any part of us that are not effective, that are not productive, including lifestyle, including behavior, habit, attitude, and even culture. He would remove us. He would take you from your culture because you were not productive in that culture. This is why you are in Canada. Probably. Or possibly. I don't know. But you were taken out from your culture. If he deems necessary for your spiritual growth. We must make sure that our faith is effective and productive. How do you personalize what Jesus Christ declared in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the field. Now, whenever we hear sermons about missions, whenever we hear sermons about evangelism, are you tempted to act immediately? I need to go and be involved. I don't want to hear pastor to say that again. Every time I hear that, it keeps ringing in my ears, and I need to do something. Instinctively, we do something about it. Just to suppress that feeling, guilt feeling of no productivity, not being involved in witnessing or mission. We need to do something. That is our instinct. Apostle Peter was like that in the early years. When he followed Jesus Christ, he wanted to do something. He wants to be seen as somebody who is doing actively, participating in the ministry, the first to act. Formerly, Peter was the one who acts before he thinks. He acts before he asks for advice. He would do something first before, did I do it right? That's the Apostle Peter. And the same Peter had grown mature spiritually when he advised us to make sure we have productive faith, effective faith. He advised us to grow spiritually mature in increasing measure. That was the Peter who grew mature, who was the person who asked first before asking for advice. Do something before thinking if it is right or wrong what he did. Christ has given us everything we need for godly life. Can you believe that? Our goal then is to live in godly life. That is our goal. Am I living in godly life? Is everything I do leads or help me to grow in godly life? The way I speak, the way I think. A godly life is transformed life that will serve as practical proof of our faith in Christ. And when we live in godly life, it would be spontaneous for us to testify, witness for Christ. People would observe, I observe you're always smiling. I observe you're always kind. I observe that you never complain. Why is that? You have the right to complain to your boss, but you're not complaining. Just do the best you can. And then you testify. I think it was the Lord transforming me. And they may inquire, who is the Lord? That is when you tell, I believe in Christ. Christ died for my sin, took away my sin. And then continue. If the person is interested, keep on. If the person is not yet interested, stop there for a while, but continue to pray. To grow spiritually mature in increasing measure, we can be effective, we can be productive, so that we would be more obedient to the Lord. And then we can look forward to that reward that the Lord had prepared for us. How can we have productive and effective faith in Christ? Christ instructed in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 to 21, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I would like to repeat and repeat and repeat in reminding everyone about this, because this has been not very seriously taken or considered. But as we grow in our faith, we will eventually realize that the Lord had instructed us to store for ourselves treasures in heaven. Now, when you came to earth, when you were born, before you were born, did somebody tell you to store treasures on earth? Of course, we don't know that because we did not plan to be born. Somebody created us. It's God who created us. But now that you are born in your spiritual life, God is saying, store up treasures. Worldly wealth, it offers limited temporal excitement. Just for a while. You are excited for a new gadget, and then new gadgets come, and you do not like that old gadget anymore. That is worldly treasure. In contrast, eternal treasure, it's unlimited, endless, glorious, rejoicing in heaven for all eternity. But of course, we only grasp that reality when we grow in our faith. But as long as we are stagnant in our faith, we cannot realize that endless rejoicing. What does endless mean? Unlimited, you understand? Unlimited because maybe you have unlimited data in your cell phone. I don't know about that. But unlimited rejoicing in heaven, I hope you would grasp that. It means treasures in heaven depend. When Christ instructed us to store up treasures in heaven, it must be very essential in our life. If it is important, the Lord would tell us. The Lord did not say, go and play bowling very well. It was not in the Bible. But we want to go bowling, right? They want to go bowling. Because it's temporary. We love temporary things. Treasures in heaven depend on what we do as Christians. Not initiated from us, what God prepared for us. When we do good work that God designed for us, prepared for us, we store up treasures for ourselves in heaven. Pray fervently for you to internalize that reality. Lord, I don't understand much about this. Why do I need to store up treasures in heaven? How important is it that you instructed us to store up treasures in heaven? Ask the Lord to help you. We continue to pray that the Holy Spirit empower us to continue grow mature spiritually, so that we store up more treasures for us in heaven. Amen.